Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Building COD MN. Today we are down at WeWork hosting the podcast here. We've got two amazing guests. This is the most people we've ever had at one time. We got Brett Diamond, the usual suspect, the COO here. We got Brian Saint, Coach Saint in the building. And we have Jacob Trobaugh.
Trobaugh, yeah.
What's up, Jake? Jake is here. This is your big announcement moment a little bit, and I think this is the best way because you get to just really explain who you are and what you're going to be doing. Jake is going to be our assistant coach and analyst here on the back end, so welcome.
Thanks for the intro. Happy to be here. Moved out to Minnesota on Friday from New Jersey, so
awesome.
I lived there most of my life. I worked in New York City prior, so it's an interesting move over here, but I love it. Where Brian and I live, we're roommates, spoiler. And we're like 10 minutes from everything imaginable, so location is awesome. COD MN so far has been ridiculous. So I signed my offer, I guess, middle of last month, Brett, maybe?
Yep. Sounds about right.
And I was speaking to a few other franchises and also looking at some job opportunities in the field I was in prior. But this just made sense, and I wanted this to be home for me. Brian actually pitched the opportunity to me initially, and then got on the phone with you guys. Brett, Ash pitched it to me again, and I just sort of fell in love. I was like, oh my God, I want this to be my home sort of thing. Came in and saw graphics today, saw logo release, which is outrageous. You guys are going to be extremely excited with that.
Yeah.
And overall just happy to be here. So
amazing.
Yeah. Well, it was funny when we had our, you know, quote unquote interview with you, basically right at the top, we said, all right, well, we know Saint wants you. And unless you're just like a total a-hole, like you're getting the job. So let's just chat a little bit and see what, you know, you can hear what we're about. We'll hear what you're about, but yeah, we're happy to have you.
No,
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly had, like, no plans of, like, getting anyone else for, like, my analysts and, like, slash, like, assistant coach. I knew, like, from the start, like, Jake was, like, the person I wanted. Because I always, like, used to play with him in the past, like, before he, you know, went into, like, the actual, like, work field over in, like, NYC and stuff. And when he proposed, like, the option of, like, coming back to Call of Duty and, you know, working in this space, I knew from the start he was exactly who I wanted, and I wanted to, like, pursue him aggressively before any other teams did, which they started doing.
Yeah, awesome. No, that definitely makes sense. And like having you kind of like fully flesh out the team as far as like coaching goes. And I think a lot of teams are going to end up having like analysts. So that's why when you came, like when Brian started telling us about you, we were like, this would actually make a lot of sense. So before this, I just kind of want to get like obviously you guys started playing together way back in the day. But what has your background been like? What was your most recent job like? You don't have to go super into detail, but just like give us an overview of what you were doing before and why have you wanted to like shift over to this?
Sure. So played Call of Duty competitively latter end of my high school career into my first year of college. I attended Call of Duty Champs in 2015 with Assault. He was my teammate prior to that. The event before Champs, I was teammates with GotRx, where we knocked Silly out of the tournament.
No way.
Eliminated them.
And then Brian beat me a few rounds after for top 16. So
You guys have all like played and beat each other. And,
yeah,
like, no. Now you're,
so this
now you're
really
together.
Does go full circle. I actually played Justin at the Champs qualifier too. So now Justin's way, way better than me. But luckily in AW, I got the better of him a couple times.
So who's won the most against
Each other,
yeah.
Brian's undefeated against me.
Okay.
I'm undefeated against Justin. Adam and I have never, I've never played either of the Adams, but I've played with both of them.
Okay.
And Alex and I have never played with or against one another. Asim and I played Ghost 8s.
Whoa.
Back in Ghost.
That's crazy.
Fast forward to Black Ops 3. I didn't play Black Ops 3 a lot, but my friend from high school did. Mm-hmm. Asim and my friend from high school met, so I've known, so Asim and my friend from Summit High School, Summit, New Jersey, sort of were friends. So everything really does go full circle. But I guess back to the original question, stopped playing after COD Champs 2015. I was in college, double majored in finance and economics. And from early high school, I really wanted to go into investment banking. I was lucky enough to land an internship in IB after my sophomore year. Where I was in a real estate financing group. Wasn't sure if that was for me. The summer following that, I shadowed an asset manager and worked for my friend's finance startup. Did that, and then upon graduation, went into consulting for private equity firms and hedge funds. A lot of my day-to-day work was extremely analytical, breaking down numbers, forecasting future numbers, sort of backing into predictions. So I sort of had that experience done. But while I was at work, I sort of always felt like something was missing. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go back into real estate. I wasn't sure if I sort of wanted to take a step back altogether, maybe try to trade for myself. But I knew something was missing, and I sort of did some deep dive searching to figure out what that was. And found that like my one true love, my constant throughout my life was gaming. And unfortunately there wasn't, I guess, the financial incentive there when I quit. And I thought that I wanted to follow investment banking just to find out that what I really loved was competing and sort of playing in the relationships that I made with players. So once there was this capital injection into Call of Duty and franchising sort of became a real thing, right? I asked myself, is this something I could do? I said yes. I thought that I would be good at it. Once I realized I could add value, I looked for places that would want me, right? So I reached out to Brian, who was a good friend of mine. We played a lot together and said, look, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to bring to a team. I didn't even ask if I could work with him. I just said, this is like, these are my skills. Do you think I'd be good in this space? And he said, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think you would bring value to wherever I go. Would you be interested in working with me? And at that point, a light bulb sort of clicked, and I was like, this would be the best opportunity. I'd get to be in a community with some of my best friends, working with and playing a game, learning a game that I love, breaking down analytically statistics and sort of predicting future performance of not only our team, but other teams, and sort of coupling what I learned in finance with what I plan to bring to COD. Mm-hmm. So it all just really made sense to me.
Yeah, and, no, that's awesome.
And I'm really happy to be here, so.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that appealed to us about it, like I said, I mean, we were probably going to go with mm-hmm. coach's recommendation regardless.
Yeah, I feel like generally with like a coaching staff, you kind of want to like
get off like the head. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, our style isn't to micromanage, you know, to that level of detail. So like I said, unless whoever Brian recommended was like a total asshole.
Right. Bad track record.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
The main thing I wanted him, like even like regardless of like his background and everything, I know like his work ethic is like crazy, and he just like loves like bringing like value to like wherever he is. So I knew like regardless he was going to put in like a crazy amount of work. Yeah. That's kind of why he's like doubling as like not only an analyst, but like as my assistant coach, because I know he's capable of doing both.
You know, and I will say, you know, while we were likely to follow coach's recommendation regardless, one of the things that really appealed to us about you and your background was that you can bring the perspective of somebody who's played the game and who's lived it, but also someone who's, you know, been in the business world, been in analytical roles that require, you know, a different mindset. So, you know, it's almost like you can have the insider's view and the outsider's view at the same time.
Right, which is something that I felt that made me unique compared to other analysts and coaches looking for similar roles. And I felt like that's sort of the gap I was filling, right? I can do the quantitative side, I can do the qualitative side. So I could break down gameplay and look at what our team needs to do better on the map just from a qualitative perspective, right? And sort of help Brian out in that regard. And then I can also pull numbers down and do all the analysis work I plan to do that way. And having background that I have where I could sort of speak to both of those talking points with real life examples. I think it helped sort of illustrate what I could bring here, and I'm happy that this is where I ended up.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, and you're also like a really good people person, which goes like a long way. Like having someone who's, you know, very like reserved and like to themselves, it doesn't bring like the most value to like a team. I know like a lot of these teams, like their analysts will just be someone who's just like crunching numbers and like handing it over. I know like you being like social and like personal and like having like a good relationship with like all the players, all the management, everything like that, just brings a lot more than, you know, just someone who's crunching numbers and handing them over.
No, I agree. I think getting the numbers and doing something with them is one thing, but being able to form an opinion on them and sort of explain that to the end user of those numbers is sort of pretty important. And not only this, but I guess that's something I learned prior. Like anyone can be a data monkey, if you will, and sort of just go and crunch numbers in Excel. It's really not that hard. It's mostly repetition, but figuring out what those numbers mean and applying them properly and also presenting those numbers in a concise manner is important, and that's something that I think that I would do a good job of. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out, and I have a lot of ideas that I hope to bring to the table moving forward. So
that's amazing. I think it's super cool that somehow life just sometimes works out, right? Like you had all these past experiences that have led you up to this point. I could definitely like relate to that a lot in the same situation. So the fact that you're able to do what you love, like really feel that like passion for what you're doing, that's amazing. I mean, that's the dream for everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, it was so cool. I was extremely fortunate. So I guess I started my consulting job I started right after college, but I was there for 9 months. Around the same time you guys hit me up, I guess 3 weeks prior, a fintech real estate firm, a guy from Goldman, I got in contact with, and he wanted me to interview for this place he was working at. They just raised Series C funding, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I love real estate. I kind of missed the work I did at Goldman, mm-hmm. so I was happy to jump into that. And fast forward, like 2 weeks later is when I talked to Brian and realizes that franchising is the thing. And I'm like, wait, I thought this was cool. This is even better. Oh my God, what's going on right now? And at that point, there were a lot of maybes. So nothing was for sure. Like, I didn't have this job at where I was interviewing at, or I wasn't even, they sort of reached out to me. So the job I was talking to, also, this wasn't final. Brian didn't have a job, and I didn't know if Brian got one, if I would be able to get one with him. So I was also reaching out to sort of other pro players who were also sort of shared the same opinion mm-hmm. as Brian. Mm-hmm. But it was just a great time. It was scary because there were so many possibilities, but none of them had a definitive yes. Yeah. So like, I had a pit in my stomach for 2 weeks because I was scared that I was going to get all excited and then everything would fall through away, like, yeah, and just like blow up. So I was trying to not get my hopes up. And then like, once I had my initial call with you guys and I thought it went really well, I was blown away just from infrastructure, not only that Brian told me, but Justin sort of pitched MN to me. The Adams pitched it. Everyone collectively and all the input I was getting just made this decision a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, like he was texting me like every day. He's like, are you sure it's gonna work out? Like, are you sure? Like, I want to like put him like my 2 weeks. Are you like sure it's gonna happen? I'm like, trust me, like everything's good. Like, it's just like being like worked out now. Like, you have nothing to worry about. And he was just like text me every day until like things finally, you know, ended up working out.
So when I submitted my 2 weeks, I don't know, for situation, for example purposes, say it was on a Wednesday. I was supposed to fly out on Friday to Seattle for work. I was going with a team of 3 people and we were going to go conduct this review for one of our clients. It's like a dreadful review. It's very painstaking. They ask for a lot, the deliverable's large. And I enjoyed where I worked before and I liked the people I worked with. So if I went there and flew out, I would have been in Seattle for a week, had done my on-site portion, and then had all of these deliverables to do that would have taken me a month or so. And knowing that I was going to join, I didn't want to leave those 2 other coworkers of mine with a third of work to split between the two of them. And I felt really bad doing that. So I sort of internally decided I need to submit my 2 weeks now. But that was really scary for me because I didn't have an offer letter.
Oh, it was before we had
It was before, I mean, it was
we had
Brian.
Given you the verbal offer.
So I had texted you. Brian had told me that I have the job. You told me, you gave me an offer. I agreed. Yeah. So we got to terms there,
but, get something
right, but nothing was on paper and that like defied every business bone in my body.
Okay. Yep.
But like I had full faith in Brian and I had faith in you guys to submit my 2 weeks prior to seeing something in paper solely because I didn't want to screw over like my colleagues that honestly helped me develop so much in 9 months. It was scary, right? Yeah. And that's why Brian texted you. I think Brian was like, look, you really need to get this to Jake in the next hour or two. Because I had a call with, we were all assigned supervisors, and I had a scheduled call with my supervisor that day, actually. Yeah. And before we were going over the talking points we wanted to talk through, I just wanted to be like, hi, so-and-so, I really don't want to waste your time here, but I don't want this 2-hour call to go on. I think I'm going to take this opportunity.
So what was his reaction and what was the reaction of your coworkers when you said, I'm leaving this very lucrative field to go and be an analyst
for
a Call of Duty team?
They were all very happy for me. So they knew my background. A lot of people at work thought it was extremely cool that I had previously traveled around and played COD, right? Mm-hmm. So sort of expressing to them that this is what I was leaving for, and it would allow me to sort of couple my analytical skills with my passion for competitive gaming. I mean, at the bottom of my resume, like, I have an entire blurb on my resume about competitive gaming, and I have not been in a single interview where it was not brought up.
Yeah,
and in a single round, awesome. Right? So I went through multiple rounds at my two internships, and every single time someone brought this up for the consulting job, it was like the main talking point. Anytime you have someone with a little brother who loves gaming, or their son, or them themselves, it's just like the best talking point, right? So everyone sort of knew that I played, and they all understood it. And I was scared, because this firm put so much into my development and really helped me grow and gave me the tools I needed to succeed in the job I was in. And I felt bad leaving, and I was worried that people would sort of be frustrated with me, and people that I valued greatly. And they were all extremely excited for me.
That's great.
My friends from home were excited. My friends at school who know like very little about esports, right, all follow the CODMN Twitter now.
Nice.
They send me the memes you guys tweet and go, I don't even really know what this means, but this is hilarious. Like, I'm that's laughing awesome. At this right now.
No, that's great.
Yeah, so everyone took it very positively, which made it an easier transition for me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's amazing. Well, so stoked to have you on board, and so stoked to finally just have a podcast where we can talk about our roster. Yep. As of this coming out, the Aseem should have been announced as the 5th. And so that makes our roster, obviously, Coach Brian Saint, Assistant Coach Analyst Jacob. We got Silly, Assault, GodRX, Alex, and Aseem. Brian, do you want to kind of go in a little bit in depth, and you too, Jake, obviously, like, chime in as much as possible. How do you see our roster? And obviously, we're building it before the game's even out. So that's, you know, is that the first time that's happened in Call of Duty? Like, the roster mania, like, so much shifting before the game's even been played?
No, that's kind of how it's been, like, the past few years. Everyone would form their roster in the off season, you know, like, a few weeks before the game comes out. And then, like, as soon as the game comes out, people will just be going in with the roster, like, people haven't done like tryouts or anything like that in years. Everyone's kind of just like, oh, like, we want this player to like fill this gap. We want to swap this player with this player. And then, you know, everything's kind of been hammered out like that. But I mean, with this team, I really love like the mindset and like the attitudes of like every player on the team. Everyone's like super flexible, and everyone has like a really good attitude towards things. So like, one thing like I'm kind of been like studying recently is like coaching philosophy, like from basketball and stuff. And like Phil Jackson has like these five levels of a team. Like, level one, it's like the team has like no confidence in each other, and they're like, it's like honestly like pointless to practice because everyone thinks the team's gonna fail. Then stage two, it's like people are like aggravated, like they have like really like pessimistic attitudes, like people get aggravated and they want to improve, but they offer no solutions. And like when you like kind of like put something toward them, they'll like play like the victim role, which is something I see like a lot in Call of Duty.
For sure.
And then you have stage three, which is like kind of how most teams are. It's like all these players that are like, I want to be the best, and you know, winning is gonna help me get to that platform, but they don't really care about the team aspect. They're in it for their own personal gain, and that's like kind of what makes the team feel, because it's just like a bunch of players who are all about themselves, but they know like the team winning and like the success of the team is gonna help them reach that level of like Hall of Fame status that they all want. Then team four, like level four is kind of where I think we're gonna be at the start, where everyone, it's like, we are better than them. Everyone's all about the team and the team aspect of us being better than them. And then, like, finally, you have stage five, where it's, like, everything's just, like, perfectly flowing. It, like, life is good, and you have, like, nothing to worry about because you guys just know you're, like, the absolute best, and you're just riding the train.
That's awesome. That's kind of an interesting way to, like, gear up into things. Mm-hmm. Being that, like, for me, when I came on board, and we're starting to like really get close to that roster mania period. The idea was to like get a solid duo. So I view like Assault and Silly as like that solid duo. I mean, like I remember our first couple calls with them that I spoke to them, like they were pretty much in agreement. Like, yeah, I would love to continue teaming with Assault and vice versa for Silly. And they weren't like, yeah, it's us or nothing. You know, they were like, yeah, if I have to, we'll split up, but we would love to continue teaming. And so I saw them as just like a great core to build around. And I see with them that like the ego's not there. I mean, just a year ago, like they won champs, Assault's MVP of champs. Like there's no ego with these guys. It's and even the folks that we've gotten after them, like GodRx, pretty selfless player. He's so underrated. I say it all the time.
Yeah, I mean last year he like super good. Stood out. I mean, like, statistically, like, if you go and like look at everything from Black Ops 4, he was probably like top three statistically with like Dashy and Sim. Like overall.
Yeah, especially in Search and Destroy. His search stats are just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
No, I just remember when we first picked up GodRx after the first event of AW. It was myself, Baker. We were playing with two other people. We decided to part ways with the two guys we were playing with. Fasena was about to quit Call of Duty. I was like, Bryce, you're not quitting because you're going to come play with me. So stole Bryce, and then we're like, who do we get? And GodRx was a no-brainer choice. And the kid was so good.
And he was just, an AW, right?
Yeah.
So he's been around
for a while. Yeah, how does somebody fly under the radar for that long?
Because he never really got like involved with like the pro scene. The pro scene is kind of like a really like close-knit circle, and he was like always like playing on these teams like on the border, and he like never had like these crazy superstar performances. He always played well, but like he like no one like ever like saw him as like that crazy superstar because he never like talked to the pros and like formed like those relationships and stuff. He was kind of just, you know, always doing his thing, and he never, you know, focused on like the networking part and getting like into that circle.
Yeah, I remember from the first day that Ashley was talking, you know, us and the ownership through kind of the, you know, her board of what players to go after. You were high on GodRx.
I really was
from day one. Yeah. And I mean, obviously he's got a very unique name, mm-hmm. so that jumped out. And then, yeah, when we first started talking to Assault and Silly, he wasn't a part of it. Was,
yeah, he actually
wasn't a part of them. And then the second time, we probably talked to them more than that, but the second time that I was on the phone with them,
they grouped up. I think what happened was maybe Adam GodRx kind of knew, like I didn't say like, yeah, we're so interested in you. I had a pretty normal player call with him, but I did get really good vibes with him, and I felt maybe he like felt that too. And we were in contact with his agent, Russell, and Russell was like, yeah, he really likes you. Minnesota's where he wants to be. And like that meant something, because the agents will tell you that, but not unless it's like they're sure, right? So we were like, okay, yeah, I really like him, but I want to make sure like if we get the right first couple players that he like fits in perfectly. So I think he saw an opportunity. We'd been, you know, talking with Assault and Silly just all throughout Roster Mania. Obviously you're dating around, you're talking to every player during that time. But I think like deep down I always knew, I was like, those guys are like, they would be good. And even like there's film evidence of it. Well, we're going to show it eventually in something we make during, cause we took a lot of video of everything that happened behind the scenes, but you know, I feel like maybe I don't. Maybe it'd be cool to ask them if we have them on the podcast once they're here. You know, how did they kind of group up? Because one of the second calls I had, with them, they were like, "Yeah, GodRx is in our crew too. That would be a good core three, right?" And I'm like, "Actually, frick yeah, that would be really good." Like, they're, and I think too, like what you're saying, Saint, like how versatile each player is. Like Assault's like that kind of like slower AR. Mm-hmm. Silly's shown he can do pretty much anything. Same with Adam. So. For filling out those last two spots, obviously we've had a lot of content with those first three players, but not so much with those second two. What was the process like for us? Because that was at that point you got on board once we had the first three. What was the process like picking up Alex, picking up Asim, and what do we like? Raseem, sorry.
Yeah.
What do we?
Well, he prefers like either or. I mean, yeah, he calls himself Asim.
Yeah. I asked him, and he told me like both, and I was like, that's so confusing.
Asked him last night too. And yeah. He was like, I don't care, man.
He's great though. He's so chill. But what is it about like Alex? And I think Alex, like especially like he's like when you look at the core three, you're like, okay, where's like that speedy sub? Mm-hmm. Is Alex that speedy sub for us?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, well, I think Asim's definitely faster than Alex. Alex is like more like the secondary sub to like him yeah. now. But like rounding out the roster, we definitely wanted two SMG players because Justin's kind of been forced on to like a main SMG role like the past 2 years when he's always like thrived as like a flex style player. So I kind of wanted to keep him in like that comfort zone and not like force him into something. He's just like always been a team player, so like if the team needed something, he would go and fill that role like if no one else could. So we definitely wanted to get like two sub players, and Alex was, you know, on the top of our list from the start. I mean, looking at the past 2 years, ever since he like came up into the scene, his stats and like his play style and like Unilad and like Reciprocity and all his teams, he is like an absolutely incredible player who like has completely like flown under the radar for a lot of teams. And just getting like players like him and like Asim who like wanted to play together as like an SMG duo just made like a lot of sense. Asim is like really young. He has like a bright future.
He's 19.
He was ridiculous.
Telling me about his origin story when he was here and we were getting footage of him. I was like, dude, your story's insane. I can't wait to make content about it because
yeah.
it's just a great story.
I mean, looking at him, like, statistically last year, he wasn't, like, too flashy by any means. But if you look at that FaZe roster, they had a lot of, like, slow and, like, baity players on that team. And that team, I think they thrived and were successful just because of, like, the plays Ason made on the map. And, like, the amount of times he opened things up for them was, you know, exceptional. Like, anytime, like, something was going good for FaZe, it was, like, him just getting in there and, like, opening things up with, like, a kill or, like, a two-piece or something like that. And, like, that team was originally, like, going to get Attach, and then before Attach, like, decided to, like, stay with EG. And I think, like, with Attach, even though, like, Attach is, like, this great player, like, high-profile player, I think the team would not have worked without a team. And that's kind of why I wanted him here, to kind of give him, you know, a team that's going to value him a lot and, you know, not force him to be the one just opening things up all the time. Yeah. I think he's really going to flourish.
I think that's what's unique about our team is everyone on it has the us, not I mentality. Everyone sort of will do what it takes to win. Even going back to GotRx, I think one of the reasons he went under the radar for so long, like you said, is just because he would do whatever it took to win. I mean, he could have dropped ridiculous stat lines if he wanted to, and we watched it happen at Champs. Mm-hmm. But he would even sometimes take the role of, you know, do whatever it takes to get it done and not put up the ridiculous score lines that would get him the notice that he needs to sort of get to that top level pro scene.
Yeah, I think GotRx, like, when he's in his comfort zone just playing his normal game, I think his play style really, really, like, mirrors, like, a gunless style player. Mm-hmm. Like, just watching him play and, like, all the times, like, my team, like, has scrimmed against him and everything last year, this guy was just, he's just always in the right spot looking at the right place, which is, like, how gunless was too. And it was, like, scary just, like, always seeing him, like, pre-in the right thing. Like, we would just run into him all the time, and, like, he would just be unstoppable, like, so many times we, like, scrim them and practice against them.
Those types of players where you feel like they just see the future and you're like, how?
With the change of, like, headquarters now, like, headquarters was never played before because the rotation of, like, all the headquarters was, like, random. It'd be, like, here, and then it'd be there, then it'd be back here, and then, it could go anywhere, so you couldn't really, like, predict anything. But now that, like, headquarters has, like, a set rotation, I think it is probably going to play, like, a bit smoother than Hardpoint. It's going to take, like, a lot more thinking and, like, smarter plays in terms of, like, holding, because, like, once you die, like, after you capture the Hardpoint, you, like, don't respawn. And, like, to get the points, you don't have to be inside of it either. Like, you can set up, like, anywhere around it as long as you capture it. So I think the game mode is going to play, you know, super similar to Hardpoint, maybe a little bit better.
It's going to be better, dude. Yeah,
much less forgiving, which will be awesome.
It will be. I think, like I was thinking about, like, obviously I'm averted to change. I'm like, no, I love Hardpoint because I just keep thinking of Black Ops 2 and rotating and anchoring. But with this, like, think of, like, let's say it's GotRx. He's the last one alive. There's three players flooding.
Yeah,
he kills
all
of them. And he's, yeah, and it offers more, like, competitively, like, charged moments than Hardpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think it's going to play better viewership-wise. But I will miss Hardpoint. What do you think, Jake?
I think we're going to see some ridiculously clutch plays come out of this. The highlights that are going to come from the situation you just mentioned where one person's alive and three, four people are flooding them is going to make for ridiculous content. I like that it's less forgiving in the sense that it's sort of bringing strategy back to the King of the Hill type game mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a fan.
I
like it. I'm interested to see how it plays out, and I'm looking forward to playing it myself.
Can you guys talk a little bit about how the change in format to franchising impacts how you prepare for any one specific match, knowing that as opposed to having, you know, going to a tournament and playing game after game after game against different teams, you're preparing for one specific opponent for an extended period of time?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be more like league matches in the past, but, you know, with more prep and, like, more time to prep things. I think it's, like, a really good thing because in tournaments it was kind of just, you know, it was always just whoever shows up that day was usually going to be the person that, like, won. You don't really have time to, like, prep against certain teams at tournaments. Like, you find out who you're playing and you have, like, 20 minutes just to kind of, like, scroll through, like, their maps and, you know, just get veto set up, but you can't really go too much into it besides that. I think having the whole league format gives us, like, really good advantage because I know, like, the analytics and everything he's going to bring are going to be absolutely, like, top notch. I think just having, like, the prep time to go, like, against each team is going to be really good for us.
Yeah, the sports fan and the strategist in me loves it. I sort of compare it to football, right, where you have a week or you have a set amount of time to really prepare for one particular team, right? So that allows you to break down what they do in such an extensive manner and really adjust your gameplay to how you see fit.
Outside of their comfort zone.
Right, exactly. So you can sort of gauge how you want to play And I think it'll bring a lot of strategy into this. I think you're going to see a lot of teams mix up their play styles week to week and try to catch teams off guard, if you will.
Yeah, and that'll be one of the interesting things to see over time. You know, as we're one of the teams that's requiring players to live in the city and
awesome.
Have them at the facility for an extended period of time on a daily basis. You know, we obviously believe in that as an approach. Not every team is mm-hmm. taking that approach.
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about that. I feel like the teams that like aren't forcing their players to move, I feel like they're giving the players like too much freedom in the past, and I kind of feel like they're half-assing the whole franchising thing. Like, if you have the ability to, you know, get everyone in like one spot and get the best practice possible, like, why wouldn't you do it? You're kind of just letting the players, you know, just chill at home, do like what they've done for years, and, you know, I feel like those teams are going to, you know, they're going to miss out on a lot not having everyone together. And I think quite a few teams are, you know, taking that approach.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we, you know, I think everyone at this table believes we've mm-hmm. got the right approach. But truly, you know, from our ownership on down, the thinking is like that can potentially be the delta in the success of any given team.
Definitely.
Is the ability. And that's, you know, that's why we're investing in a top tier practice facility. Frankly, we wanted to bring in, you know, coach's number one choice for an analyst.
Sure.
Like those things, you know, exactly right. You made the analogy to football. Obviously, that's, you know, that's where
right in your
you know,
wheelhouse.
Our ownership's background is, you know, we see those things as potentially being the difference between winning and losing. And, you know, hopefully we're right, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I'm just so excited about it just from a content perspective because everybody's here and I could just say, hey, today's video making day, let's go.
Pop in new podcast now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, I mean, there will be some structure to it so that you guys can structure around me, but
right.
I'm just excited to have everybody in town. And I'm so glad you guys have both finally moved. They're both Minnesotans officially now, so
yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hope you guys, you know, enjoy the sights and the mm-hmm. cold. We're starting to ramp into winter here a little bit. So
can we drop a little news for anyone that's listened all the way through the podcast?
Yeah, if you listen to the end,
well, it's like a preview of news. So next Tuesday the 29th is when the branding will be revealed.
Ooh.
And we'll have some other exciting news to share that day as well.
Yes.
The branding's cool, guys.
It's top notch.
It's next level.
You are really going to like everything that happens on the 29th with us. I wasn't expecting you to say that. I just got like chills. I was like, oh my God, like you said it. That's like, so excited. But
it's coming. It's right around the corner.
No, I saw it for the first time today and was floored.
It's
good stuff.
The leaks are fake.
Yeah, that was like that like mutant Thor guy.
It was bad.
Where you figured out somebody posted it was from an old Madden.
I think so. It honestly looks like one of the old sock logos from like one of the old Madden.
It looks like
games.
That's
I'm
what
like,
someone
I'm
did.
Where you can
like
create
confident.
A team.
Yeah, I'm so confident it's one of those.
Yeah. So I will say, if you were truly making it up, it's not.
It's not a bad guess.
It's not a horrible guess.
They're kind of in the. In the ballpark a little bit, but
this is the last episode where it's building COD MN.
Minnesota beep. Exactly. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to follow, rate, and subscribe on whatever platform you're choosing to listen on. And big shout out to WeWork for letting us kind of host this in their place. We've had a lot of fun down here downtown in our temporary space until our actual facility is built. So shout out to WeWork and shout out to you for listening all the way to the end.